Frank Zombo with the quad, or excuse me, hamstring strain. He will probably miss this week against Minnesota, is the early diagnosis. With that, I'll take your questions. I don't think it's a severe hamstring. I reiterated exactly what the trainer Pepper Burris just told me. He will be challenged and most likely will not make the Minnesota game.
Mike, what is the actual schedule this week in terms of practice?
Players are off today. We will work tomorrow, as if it's a Monday, so they'll have their strength and conditioning responsibility in the morning. We will review the San Diego tape throughout the afternoon, have a team meeting. Rookies have conduct meeting at 3 o'clock, and Wednesday will be their day off, and then we'll go right into a normal work week with the Monday night game.
Do you have a plan for Mike?
The plan for Mike is to practice Thursday, and based on what we do with Mike at practice Thursday is something that the coaching staff and our medical staff will talk about in detail.
I know it's way too early to say on that probably, but I mean, is there any schedule for him? I mean, if everything works out well and he progresses well, was it like a 2 weeks? Would it be 3 weeks? Do you have any idea?
Based on the beginning of your question, it's too early, and we will detail exactly what we feel is in what Mike can handle, and there's going to be a progression of bringing Mike back to practice, and that conversation will go on here in the next couple of days, but we're shooting for him to be on the practice field Thursday.
Mike, what's your level of concern after looking at with the defensive breakdowns you had with the receivers running open yesterday, coming off of 2 weeks and preparing and hopefully addressing it, and then seeing those kinds of things? Where is your level of concern about that?
Well, when you look at the defensive performance, really the area of big plays was the obvious with their offense versus San Diego's offense versus our defense. Our defense made the biggest plays with the takeaways and the 14-point production off of the takeaways, and they had seven big plays, 20 plus yards apiece. And when you see breakdowns as far as in pass coverage in the way they occurred in the game, it really goes back to communication, and that was our issue yesterday. We had a number of communication errors that resulted in players put in bad positions, bad situations, and San Diego took advantage of it. So we have an opportunity to correct the film, as I've already stated, with the schedule, and we'll do that tomorrow, and we'll stay the course. Well, we haven't been as clean communicating really as a football team. And really the communication errors yesterday were not just just on the defensive side of the ball. Our boundary discipline as far as substitution, play entry was not as clean as it needed to be. Now, is that the product of coming off a bye week, getting back into the fast flow of the game? That's an excuse, but we need to do a better job, and frankly, that's why the schedule is set up the way it is, because we want to make sure, coming off of a bye week, playing this game, that we took a full Monday like we normally would do early in the year. We're not getting into Victory Monday schedule, which we normally would be in at this time of year, and we won't not really get into that till after Detroit. So we have to clean it up. It was not a clean game. When I refer to a clean game, I look for play entry, both offensively, defensive, special teams go in. It's communicated, the substitutions are made clean, everything's clean, and the players, now we're talking about execution. But we've been talking about communication too much in the last couple of weeks, and we've got to do a better job. And it starts with the coach, it starts with me.
Mike, was the pressure you got at the end of the game, was that different scheme or better execution? And how do you get that to translate more for 60 minutes than just those
guys? Oh, really, if you look at the last two series that our defense was involved in, it's really been the most consistent part of our game this year. I would refer to those two series as adversity football, and our defense stepped up. And there are base calls It's clearly execution, giving credit to the players. But, you know, the most important part of the game when our back was against the wall, our defense produced.
Mike, when Charles Woodson talked after the game, I mean, it almost looked like he lost. He was so bad. How do you want these guys to balance the idea that, I mean, they're 8-0, but yeah, I mean, there's still things to correct?
Well, I just think it's the reality of the expectations that everybody has in the locker room. So we're 8-0. We've earned it. But we have expectations and a level of play that not only the individual expects of himself, but, you know, what we expect of each position, you know, each unit. And that's really the product of some of the feelings that go on after a game. But, you know, that's why it's important still to go through the correction period, even late in the season. You know, you take the emotion of the game out of it and you have all the information that's applied through the evaluation process, and that's how you have the opportunity to learn from what, particularly the things that went wrong yesterday.
Mike, when you reviewed the tape, did the receivers struggle to get open at times? Is that why Aaron did seem to run more often than normal? Or
it's really a product of the way they played us in normal down and distance. They played us a bunch of two-man, or how you want to call it. I don't know what you call it in the media, but they play a lot of man under. They are a quarters principal team. They play a lot of match coverage, which from an offensive standpoint is really we treat the same. So with all the underneath coverage running out there with the safety help over the top, you know, Aaron did a great job, recognize it and take advantage of it. So it's a coverage over prior years. You exclusively see more in third down passing situations. And, you know, we're seeing it now in normal down and distance because people are planning to take advantage of the pass. So Aaron's just really taking advantage of their coverage.
You don't mind when he runs as often as he did yesterday?
Absolutely, I don't mind. I mean, when he runs out there's nobody there. That's a positive. So it's good defensive recognition on Aaron's part, and just taking advantage of how they're playing on receivers.
Mike, what are the challenges or maybe benefits of facing a division opponent in such a short amount of time as compared to a more conventional space between those two games?
I don't look at it any differently because game plan is game plan. You take the information. You evaluate it. You have a sense of projection, how you think they're going to play you the second time. There's a lot of history in division games, so you look at that. You look at your self scout. So that won't change. That I don't have any preference based on playing them back to back, or you know, having a long period between each game. Because really, at the end of the day, it's about how you're playing. Well, I think the question's bigger than that. You know, I think it's only part of the formula when you make those kind of decisions. So, and I really don't want to get into specifics. Not that we have some magic formula based on why we defer and why we don't defer. So, it's something we talk about each week. Some of it's pulse, you know, some of it's gut feeling based on the information that's applied. So. I like having the ball come out at halftime on offense. I think we've done a good job, particularly scoring before the half and scoring when we come out of the half. I mean, if you use yesterday's game as an example, you know, there's a 10-point difference between the last time San Diego had the ball in the first half and first time they had it in the second half. So that's all part of it. We factor in the fact that, you know, there's time possession tendencies. So we look at the whole picture. And then from that, we – how we think the offense is going to do. You know, starting on the road is a bigger challenge than starting at home. So you look at all those factors and make a decision. I thought it worked out well yesterday.
Did you use part of your bye to just kind of get a jump on what's ahead with the Monday, Sunday, Thursday schedule?
Yes, we have. Yes, we've planned for the third quarter and you know, but right now we're focused on Minnesota. I think, you know, the most impressive part of the game atmosphere yesterday was our fans. I mean, just we were standing in a tunnel It was kind of like a scene from Gladiator. You can just see over the top, you know, you're in this tunnel and you just see the light out there, and you can hear the booing, you know, or cheering. I couldn't tell what it was. And then we came out and you could hear, you know, cheering and booing, and then they came out and it was the same thing. So you knew from the start that, you know, the impact that our fans were going to have at the game. In pregame, there was so much green and gold in the stands. And you know, when the home team goes to sideline count, that's significant. I can't tell you how impressive it is to go on the road and the support that our fans give us. It was phenomenal yesterday.
Two more. Mike, going back to some of the big plays you guys giving up, you're so good defensively and coming up with big plays and takeaways. You lead the league in interceptions. You obviously have some ball hawks back there. But some of the big plays appear, at least on film to my eye, I'm no expert, some double moves. You guys have beaten some double moves, and some appears to be maybe schematic changes other teams have made against you guys based on the aggressive nature of some of your defensive backs. Do you have to talk to some of your guys and maybe temper that aggression? Is that a thought you guys have as a coaching staff moving forward?
Not really. I don't see our pass coverage as a major issue being double moves. I know we had one at the start of the game in Minnesota. We had one yesterday, and so, you know, it's about playing to your leverage and the whole pass coverage, you know, and the pass rush. It's all fit together. There's a reason why we do have the ability to take away the football, but really our biggest issue yesterday was communication, and that'll be the number one topic of our conversation when the team gets here tomorrow.
Mike, how'd you evaluate the running game yesterday?
Excuse me?
How'd you evaluate your running game yesterday?
Well, I thought it was positive. I mean, if you look at the production of the offense, you know, 31 points, 56 plays. I mean, that tells you basically how I felt about the offensive performance. I thought running the football, James and Ryan were both, I think, four yards a carry. You know, Aaron had the 50-plus yards, and that was really a factor how they played us normal down and distance. So, you know, I was fine with the run game. Our third down production was good until the last series. I thought that, you know, I could have did a better job in a two backed up in a 4-minute series. I was not pleased with a couple play calls in hindsight. So, but I was fine with the way we ran the ball yesterday.
Mike, can you quantify what Nick's absence is contributing to these communication issues?
I don't think you can quantify an impact on any time a player is not available. I mean, Nick is a Pro Bowl player, and he's obviously a tremendous playmaker in our back end. Has been in the defense here since day one. So but the communication errors we had yesterday, they're all correctable. And but I don't think you can really quantify it based on a player's absence.